Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast.
Inside Slant Podcast.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, where do you rank Bill Self's class?
It's definitely one of the top 10 classes in the country.
Bringing you all the latest info from the coaches, players, and recruits.
Kirby, how big is this commitment?
Well, he's the type of recruit that can change the whole class.
For all of the latest KU news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in recruiting and team coverage. Here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. It is a pregame edition. We are gearing up for the game at Texas on Saturday. But we're going to come at you today from all different angles of Jayhawk Nation. We're going to talk some big news on the basketball recruiting trail and get the latest on Bill Self's program from our man Shea Wildebor. We have a nationally televised football game coming up on Saturday. Two nationally ranked programs as the Kansas Jayhawks visit the Texas Longhorns in Austin. We'll preview that matchup. We're going to hear from our buddy Jeff Ketchum from OrangeBloods.com, one of the best at covering the Longhorns over the years. He's going to join us to give his prediction on the game. Then we have a special set of guests with twin brothers, Marcus and Mark Carter. Now, not only are they twin brothers, they are also the co-head coaches at Desert Edge High School in Arizona, where the Jayhawks currently have three players committed, and there's always a chance there could be a few more jump in the boat as we go along. They're going to give us some insight into how KU has recruited their school and what they saw on their visit to Lawrence. We'll also touch on some other recruiting news, give you the latest about that. Let's not waste any more time. Let's jump right into it right now. I'm going to bring in my man, Shea Wildebor, on the men's basketball beat. Shea, it's been a minute. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm trying, honestly, no lying. I'm trying to keep up on this Kelce Swift love connection thing. Because, listen, I don't know if you saw that look at him when he was on the sidelines next to Reed and he said she's right. I mean, it's like, it's cool to see when you like somebody and it's like a dream come true. So I'm trying to keep up on all this, man. And I know it's a little bit cheesy, but for me, it's kind of been cool to watch.
I loved when they asked Andy Reid about it, and he said he's the one that introduced him.
Right.
I thought that was funny. And then I heard a clip from the New Heights podcast. Jason asked Travis about the fact that Bill Belichick was talking about it.
Right.
And it was so funny. I think Travis said, he goes, man, he said, he's never talked that much about me in the weeks leading up to games where we were playing the Patriots.
Right.
I think it's hilarious, man.
Right. And I just saw that she's going to be maybe in New York on Sunday. So I know this is the KU podcast, but I think it's, he's just one of the, and I've been watching that thing, that documentary of his brothers and of his
Which
brother. I just think
it's fantastic.
That's a cool family, man. I mean, that's a genuine, real, emotional, no BS, just family. And I just love it.
Well, and there is the KU tie. I mean, obviously everybody knows about how Taylor's, one of her best friends went to KU. There was a rumor that started circulating on Monday that she was at Free State Brewery.
Right.
And I guess it was absolutely packed out. And people, like, they started telling people as they're coming in, no, they're not here. Don't come in. They're not here.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. But yeah, I'm with you. It is a lot of fun to watch.
It's fun. It's fun.
All right, let me go ahead and bring in our man John Kirby, the publisher of Jayhawk Slant and the authority on the Kansas football beat. JK, how you doing?
Randy, Shay, I'm doing well. You know, I've just heard you guys talking about Taylor Swift, and I'll be honest with you, I'm just the dumb guy that follows college sports and college football. But, you know, my wife went and saw her when she was here.
Oh, my goodness.
And I got to tell you, you know, in my time, and I know she's not this big worldwide, but you know, Michael Jackson. Okay. Uh-huh. I mean, there's probably never been and never will be anybody worldwide.
Oh no.
That, you know,
not like that again.
Right. But you know, somebody was showed me something today about like all the statistics that what's happened since she went there about Kelce's jersey sales and all this. And I saw something that said, you know, hey, who cares about Taylor Swift? Patrick Mahomes is still the guy. He's every bit as popular. And I saw somebody say, well, really, not really. Somebody said Mahomes has 5 million followers or something like that on Instagram, and Taylor Swift has 275 million or something like that. So she must, you know, obviously she's huge news for her to keep, you know, being brought up when all this.
It's been wild to watch. I saw that graphic, and the one you're talking about that listed the stats and the amount of, he jumped to number 5 or maybe even number 1 now in NFL jersey sales over the past week. His Instagram and Twitter following exploded. He added a ton of people with that. It was funny. I was listening on the radio today, and they were playing clips. I guess somebody took like a bunch of TikTok videos and did like a medley of them. And it's basically like husbands and wives or guys and their girlfriends talking about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. And there was this one girl, she just kept saying, she was like, nobody even knew who this football guy was.
Right.
And until he met Taylor Swift, and the guy is like, football guy. She was like, yeah. And he goes, that's like literally the best tight end on the planet. And she goes, yeah, nobody had a clue who he was.
Yeah,
and
his buddy,
she goes, and his friend, Mahomes, I think his name is, that waved at her. And he was like, that is the face of the NFL. And she was like, yeah, and nobody knew who those guys were until he started dating Taylor Swift.
His jersey sale is up 400% in the last week.
Travis Kelce making a lot of money off jerseys.
A lot of money.
Right now. A lot of money off of jerseys right now. Oh, man. You know what? Before we get into everything that's going on right now, there are a couple board posts on the Jayhawk Slant message boards that I want to bring up on the football side that have caught my attention this week. You know, JK, you were all over this one where Linwood Tornado, and this was interesting. I saw this one the other day right after I was getting back from my lunch break, and I was like, oh, wow. He was comparing Kobe Bryant and Aqib Talib. What do you think about that?
Well, I kind of made my thought known on that. But I mean,
Yeah.
What was the post? Something like, I'm sitting on my couch about ready to drink some wine or something.
Uh-huh. I think wondered.
He was on the, that dude was on the couch already drinking wine. Listen, I love me some Kobe Bryant, right? Kobe Bryant's a good football player, but to compare him to a guy that's been to, I think, 6 Pro Bowls and left after his junior year, who was a number one draft pick and a consensus All-American, and probably the greatest corner to ever play at KU, that's a pretty tall order there. So,
well, and you know, people were talking about the body types between the two of them, and even Coach Leipold was talking about this week how in the lead up to the, it may have actually been, I think it was Leipold that said, you know, they knew that they had to set a physical tone in that game against BYU, and to have maybe the smallest guy on the defense come out and just lower the boom the way he did in what should have been the play of the week. And got
absolutely. It was a huge hit. It set the tone. Absolutely.
It did. And that's the thing. Even with that hit, still, you go back to the fact that Kobe is a little guy. Compared to him, Aqib was built like a linebacker and can cover and covered the best receivers in the NFL. And that is no shade at Kobe.
No, heck no. I mean, Kobe's a buck 67, you know?
Maybe.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe.
Aqib, you know, Aqib was a buck 95. I mean, if you look it up, I think the average weight of the corner, average corner in the NFL is like 193 pounds. So, I mean, yeah. Hey, but no, it's all good. Hey, that's what makes the message board so fun, because there's no right or wrong to answers like those. And that's what we're there for, is to have discussion about that stuff. But man, you picked a good one to bring up.
Oh, that one was wild. But the thing about it, it was a great topic because it got a lot of people people were bouncing back and forth with, you know, telling him he was crazy or whatever. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. You know, one more. Did you see the post from Steam Whistle on rating his pizza?
I did. I did. I just replied. Matter of fact, I replied to it just before we started the podcast, and I said, man, I'm going to give it a low rating. That he put a picture up of it. I guess it was his homemade pizza he made. Man, that thing looked like it was on a piece of paper.
Man, it's you know, I always try to tell people, you know, if you've not if you're not familiar with message boards or you've never been a member of the Slant, it is a really unique place for Kansas football fans and Kansas basketball fans. You get the best coverage you're going to find anywhere, but there are more passionate fans that are really invested, not just in Kansas basketball, which that's always kind of been the easy one. We have the most diehard group of Kansas football fans that have been members on the board in some cases for 20 plus years. And it's posts like this in the conversation, it's a lot of fun. Okay, speaking of basketball, let's get right into the latest on Bill Self's program. Shay, you know, the Jayhawks landed another commitment in the last 48 hours. I know you felt this might be a tough one to get, but Bill Self lands four-star guard LeBron Fillon. Is it Fillon? Is that what you were saying?
LeBaron Fillon.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, I didn't realize.
LeBaron Fillon.
A French aristocrat. Exactly. Listen, man, we
all get a mulligan. Yeah. Listen, Randy, I was talking to a guy on the network about a week ago when his visit got set up, maybe a little bit longer. And he said, hey, Shay, we all know Bill's. And for now, they're calling Bill Self a gangster now, I guess. Like he's a gangster. You know, he's a whatever. And the guy told me, hey, listen, Bill's the man. You know, we all know what he can do. But this, you know, Cincinnati's coming at him with an NIL package that I don't think anybody's going to be able to touch. And we talked back and forth, and I said, well, what about this? Or he's like, Shay, you're not hearing me. And I said, okay, all right. So I get home, Kemper had a game Monday night. I'm going to kick back and enjoy some football, you know, have a little maybe a delightful cold Coke. Exactly. And all of a sudden I get a call. LeBaron Fillon has committed to Kansas. And I'm like, no way. It ain't happening. Well, it happened. And I mean, so you start with Flory. And here's the thing that I've been talking to a lot of people about, Randy, this whole NCAA case.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was told
that we've been talking about for what, 2 years now, Shay?
If not long, this whole thing has been going out like before Kemper started high. It's been going on way too long. And I don't even know what to call it. It's just it's really a joke is what it is. I don't have a problem with the case. That's going to happen.
But with how it's been handled is a joke. Yes, I agree with you completely.
So someone told me, Shay, that this case is going to, and I figured it would be at least a month or so ago. So when this case gets resolved, you watch out for Bill Self. Because during this time.
I remember hearing the same thing, yeah.
Right. During this time, he has not been able to land the quality. He's landed some good guys, don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about top five, top three. Yeah. It hasn't happened. So you go in and you sneak Flory, and I thought he was going somewhere else. You get LeBaron Fillon, and I really thought he was going to Cincinnati. And I talked to the kid. I've talked to him a couple times since, and he's fired up. I mean, the idea of playing for what he called is the greatest coach in college basketball. And that's a lot of talk now.
I like him already.
Yeah, no doubt.
I like him a lot.
Right. No, and here's the thing. Like, so normally, Randy, late night is a huge, huge, huge night for recruiting. They're going to have Flo Rida, and, you know, they bring in recruits, they bring in families, they do all this stuff.
It is a spectacle.
A spectacle. ain't happening this year. Now, they may, and I could be totally wrong. A week from now, I could totally rewrite my words.
Mm-hmm.
Late night's going to be about Cooper Flagg Show.
Okay.
That's it. I mean, Bill, a generational player. I've repeated this on here before. Anybody that doesn't think Kansas is a player for Cooper Flagg, and there's a lot of them, pump the brakes, because his family loves, and his mother, led by his mother Kelly, loves the idea of her son Cooper Flagg being coached by the best coach in college basketball right now, the best coach, and there's no doubt. Now, listen. I know there's Duke, Connecticut, and Kansas, okay? I don't think anything's going to happen with Connecticut. Now, the question you have to ask yourself, and you guys know, no disrespect to anybody, the question is, do you send Cooper to Duke to play for a third-year coach?
Nope.
I mean, that's they're going to have some conversations.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, and again, I love John Shire. I followed his recruitment. I've talked to him in the past. He's a recruiting juggernaut. I mean, he's bringing in dudes and dudes, five star after five star after five star after five star. I get it. I get it. But when you're talking about possibly the number one or the number one overall draft pick next year, you're talking about the number one ranked player in America, you're talking about a kid playing for Montverde and Kevin Boyle. And I said this last time on the podcast. I liken Bill or Coach Self and Cooper to kind of like Mahomes and Reed. I mean, they're two dynamic dudes that just love to win, that love to game plan, that love to watch film, that just love to get after it. You know, I picture them having like Friday night film sessions. No other dudes are out on the town. They're having fun. I just think Cooper is so dialed into winning and wanting to play at the highest level. And listen, he's going to go to number one no matter where he goes. But how are you going to be prepared when you get there is my thing. And I just think that Kansas has a really big opportunity, you know, next a week from Saturday or a week from Friday, to really make an impression on him and take a step forward to locking that thing up.
Let me ask you this, and obviously I don't follow the program nearly as close, especially the recruiting aspect, as you do. Is okay? The biggest recruit that I've seen Kansas land was probably Andrew Wiggins.
No
is
question.
Is this that caliber,
generational talent.
So is he better than Wiggs then?
Larry Bird. I think Bill Self would, if Bill Self gets this guy, I think the floodgates will open. I do. And now here's another thing, Randy, that I don't want to skip on. So there's another kid that's supposed to be coming in, Emmanuel Steven.
Okay.
He's a 6'7" center from out in Dream City Christian in Glendale, Arizona, right? So the plan originally, from what I was told, to have these two guys in, give him the royal treatment and all this stuff. Well, today, Joe Tipton comes out with a tweet that says, hey, Emmanuel Steven is going to be announcing his college decision October 3rd. He's getting ready to visit Arizona. Well, if he's going to visit Arizona this weekend and he's announcing October
next
3rd,
week.
It's not going to be Kansas.
Exactly.
Well, he sent me a DM a little bit ago saying his visit to Kansas has not been canceled. And he said, I might have you change. And I don't know. I responded trying to get additional information. I don't know what's going on. So I just want our viewers who are talking about it on the board to know that I've been in contact with this kid. And he's right now claiming that his visit to Kansas has not been canceled. So whatever that means, I'm not sure yet. But yeah, I think, you know, you start with Florey, you get a LeBaron Filon, you get, if you can get a Cooper Flag. I know they're going tomorrow. They're going to see Rakese Passmore, a small forward from out in North Carolina, the number 36 ranked player in the class, a player that they really love. Yeah, but I think they're really going to be, I think, selective simply because if you land the guys that you're talking about landing, you're not going to need a lot of bodies. And then secondly, the transfer portal is always going to be there. I mean, they're going to, you know, Kansas, as they've proven time and time again, the transfer portal is always going to be a big key for them. And they landed the number one guy this year. They, you know, Hunter Dickinson, Nick Timberlake. They got Parker Brown, and I'm missing some guys. I mean, but they, you know, they're going to enter the season as the number one ranked player in America. So if you can start with those three.
It's a pretty good start.
Yeah, really icing on the cake. And you're talking about a guy in Cooper that's just going to bring – I mean, I don't know how much more – I don't know how to say this. I mean, you're going to talk about a guy that's going to come in with a ton of hype, a ton of coverage. National guys are going to want to be here every game. I mean, you're talking about bringing the program really to a maybe another level that it hasn't seen possibly since a Wiggins. I mean, the coverage and you know, the people that are going to want to see him play nightly will be unbelievable. And he's going to make his teammates around him so much better. You know, he's just a guy that can, you know, score from all three levels. And he's, to me, he plays with, here's what I'll say. He plays the way I wish Kemper would play on the football field. He's got dog in him, is what they say. He's got some dog in him. I mean, he's more like, I saw a video where he dunked over, it was a close game this summer. He dunked over a guy, you know, they were face to face cussing. And there's not, I mean, there's, he doesn't think, he just plays. You know, he's not thinking, well, what if I get a tech? I mean, he's just one of those guys that instinctually goes. And I think in order for Kansas to get to where it wants to get, like Hunter Dickinson, like you're going to see Hunter this year. Kansas fans are going to love Hunter because he doesn't care. I mean, when they go to K-State and somebody says something, he's not going to just shrivel up. I mean, he's going to let you know what he's thinking.
Okay.
You know, so if somebody, you know, gets on one of his guys, he's going to be right there. And so I think, you know, I think if you can get a Cooper, you know, a Filon, a Flurry, yeah, and once this case is resolved, whenever that may be, I just, you know, I think the – and I think Bill's telling these – or Coach Self's telling these guys what to expect. I think he's kind of got a pretty good idea of what might be coming. I haven't heard that from anybody. That's just my thought. And I just – you know, I think once this thing ends, you know, I think the roof's going to be blown off this place a little bit. And I know that's kind of a little bit much, but, I mean, it's – you know, they've been handicapped for a long time or handcuffed. They've been handcuffed.
No question. And I think that for people listening to this – that listen to the podcast regularly that have heard you, you know, it's been a while since you've been since you've sounded like this, Shay, there is, I know, and obviously, I mean, it's crazy to think just how close we are already to late night. I know you get excited about that, but with just the potential for this, I mean, we talked, you've already kind of told us, you know, who's coming to late night and everything. You know, let's just kind of wrap up basketball recruiting. I'm going to let you have the floor back. And just who are the remaining top targets that may, is there anybody that you haven't mentioned that, that maybe Kansas fans should kind of be looking at, or is it mainly that big three? And then anything else out that outside that is just kind of icing on the cake.
Yeah. I mean, there's guys, Randy, you know, Trey Johnson, the number four ranked player in the class.
I just want to say real quick, how terrible is that? That you're probably talking about high four star guys in some cases. And you're like, yeah, there's they're guys.
Right.
Guys.
No, but it's where it's trending right now. I mean, you got Trey Johnson, the number four ranked player in America. He's also at Link here with LeBaron Falone out in Branson. You know, he's visited once, wants to come back during the season. You know, Liam McNeely, who visited a few weeks ago, I think he's going to ultimately end up in Texas. You know, I think Derek Queen, I kind of think that ship has sailed. I mean, you know, they've already got Flurry, a five-star big man. You don't know what's going to happen with Hunter. He could come back. I mean, there's not a lot of bodies. Obviously, there's Cooper Flagg, who we've discussed. You know, I'm really interested to see what happens with Emmanuel Steven. You know, and here's the thing with Joe Tipton. Joe Tipton doesn't just put stuff out there to put it out there. I mean, this is a guy that's got, I'm going to say this, street, my son says street cred, and he's got juice and all this stuff. So I'm guessing that maybe, I don't know if Emmanuel, not necessarily panicked, but wants it to be a surprise. You know, I don't know. I just know that he told me that his visit hasn't been canceled, and that he would get with me later. So I think those are the guys right now. I mean, we're going out to see tomorrow Rakees Passmore. I'm a small forward from out in Combine Academy in North Carolina. I know they really like him. Again, I think that's more of a – and we saw how this ended. It's kind of like a Falone situation. You know, a lot of people are saying Arkansas. But I think right now you got to see what happens with Flag. You know, it's a great start to a two-man class. See what happens with Cooper in a few weeks, and then you can kind of take a step back and reevaluate what you need, what you want, and go from there.
That is our man, Shay Wildeborn, the men's basketball beat. Shay, I haven't heard you with that much fire in a while. It's great to have you back. We will check in with you again real soon and hear the latest as Bill Self's program inches closer to finally starting the season.
Yeah, and hey, Saturday, the Fighting Lance Leipolds.
Yes.
I hope they can get it done, man. I've got some buddies yapping at me, and Jalen Dynamic. I mean, if they can win the turnover battle, right? You got to win the turnover battle, right? You got to get ahead early. You got to play smart and make some things happen. You have a little luck, maybe.
Yep. And control the pace of the game. And I think they have the offense to do that. And that defense is play. I really like the defense, but that's me.
All right, boys. Have a good night, and I'll be listening.
Thanks, Shay.
All right, take care.
That's our man Shay Wildeborn, the men's basketball beat. Now we're going to go ahead and switch gears and talk Kansas football. Kirby, let's not mince words here. We are here to talk about a 4-0 football team, a 4-0 football team that is back-to-back, that is 4-0 in back-to-back years for the first time since the Kansas Jayhawks did it in 1914, 15, and 16. It's been over 100 years since the last time that happened. Things were a little tight with BYU last Saturday for a while, but this Kansas program looked very good in the second half.
Randy, they did. And listen, I want to start. I'm impressed with BYU. I want to compliment that what they do scheme-wise and their coaches. You know, they, for that first half there, they had KU out-schemed. I mean, they were doing some good stuff defensively. They were prepared when Jalen Daniels went on his option. They were in the right spot. But you know, Randy, even scheming it up and coaching them up, after a while, kids started, you know, they got to make plays. And I just don't know if BYU had the athletes. And you could see it at times there where Kansas in the second half was definitely getting the edge. I think BYU was starting to wear down, and they just didn't quite have the Jimmies and Joes. But man, I'll tell you, BYU was solid, and they gave the Jayhawks fits. They were a pretty good matchup. They were physical. I thought the kid threw Slovis threw a nice ball. I said this last week on the podcast. I said, do not let him get comfortable. Do not let him get his feet set. Disrupt him, and they disrupted him some, but not a lot. I mean, he still had time. He threw for 357 yards. I mean, I thought BYU was a well-schooled team. The killer in that game. BYU could not run the football to save their lives. And give some credit again to the Kansas defense. A couple things in that game stand out, Randy, to me. Number one, the run defense. Number two, and I heard this from Lance Leipold, and I heard it from a couple players. At halftime, now this is experience. This is what experience does in a program. They're down 17-14 at half at home. Okay, they don't panic. It's business as usual. They regroup. They tweak some things. They come back out, and we saw them take control in that second half. So those are signs of team. I love signs like that, especially when you get older teams and then somebody who is in, you know, Leipold system. There's no panicking. They said, we've got, you know, 30 minutes of football. Let's go. So, you know, I thought I mentioned this. I thought KU warmed down. You know, Jalen Daniels was efficient. I mean, it was just a typical Jalen Daniels, close to around 250, 260 through the air, 70 on the ground. The Jalen Daniels that we know, we saw those legs start to get ready. So, I mean, you know, a little bit more option, a little bit more running. And, boy, the combination of Devin Neal and Daniel Hyshaw, 145 yards combined rushing.
And they're fun to watch.
And I said this. Devin Neal needs Daniel Hyshaw because we know how good Neal is, okay? Uh-huh. But if Neal can keep those legs fresh and stay healthy, that is the key, because these last 2 years he's been banged up because he has to keep shouldering the load. So a healthy Neal and Hyshaw are going to be problems for defenses. Well, this defense this weekend, we'll get into it later. That may be a challenge. But
no question.
And listen, the Kansas defense stepped up with two scores. And I've already said this. The defense to me is the story. That's been the story through four games, because we knew what to expect from the offense. But the defense to me, and this can't go unnoticed either. Bill Connolly from ESPN does his SP Plus rankings. Right now, he's got KU as the number one ranked overall special teams in the country right now. So we can't dismiss that. I remember back in those Mangino years where those special teams. Now, Mangino made those starters play special teams. I mean, those kids would be like, "Coach, I'm dead tired. I can't go play special teams. Get out on special teams." I mean, some of KU's best athletes were on special teams, and they played all their snaps on their side of the ball. But Seth Keller is 6-for-6 in field goals. Just these little things that are just adding up. It's just been so fun to watch his program develop, you know, this year and into this 4-0 start.
It has been a lot of fun. And you used the C word just a few minutes ago. You said challenge, and the biggest challenge of the season is facing the Jayhawks in Austin this week. Texas might be the most talented team on KU's schedule this year. We're going to bring in our man Jeff Ketchum from Orange Bloods, our old friend, who's going to break down the game from the Texas perspective.
We are joined by Jeff Ketchum from OrangeBloods.com. Jeff and I have known each other for a long time, and it's always great to get him on the show. And this may be our last podcast for some time, with Texas moving to the SEC. And I even text Jeff earlier that said, man, I'm a little bummed out. You know, I'll still have to stay in touch with him. But Jeff, you're going to miss me, aren't you?
I am going to miss. I'm going to miss Kansas. I love Lawrence. I dated a girl from Lawrence in the late 90s, like dated her for a couple of years. So I made a lot of trips to Lawrence. And I've always loved Lawrence. It's like my second favorite Big 12 outpost. So it's funny. We said goodbye to Baylor yesterday. This weekend, I was born in Waco, but I won't miss Waco nearly as much as I miss Lawrence.
Well, I'll tell you, I've watched the Longhorns. They look pretty good. So let's get into this game. You know, first of all, you know, it's a 4-0 start. Big win over Bama. What have you seen from this team in the first four games?
They're better up front physically on defense. This might be maybe not even a borderline. This may be a great defense, and I don't think that's something that Texas has had probably since 2009 when it last competed for the national championship. But they rank in the top 10 in 10 different major statistical categories. And they're really good. I mean, just pick one. And they're in the top 25 nationally of it. Now, will that hold? Because other than Alabama, they haven't played a lot of tough teams. This will be the toughest test they'll face in terms of an opposing quarterback all season long. And so I think, you know, are they a great defense because they've played some bad quarterback play? I think we'll learn a little bit more this weekend against Kansas in a game that, just so you know, like, I get the sense that Texas fans and Texas players and certainly the Texas coaches are taking very seriously. Obviously, they have a lot of respect for Kansas for a lot of different reasons, the least of which isn't what happened 2 years ago. But they know how good Jalen Daniels is. And, you know, listening to Sarkisian talk about this team yesterday, he's really impressed with a lot of areas. I think he knows that this team can run and pass the ball. I think he knows that Kansas is good up front. I think he has a lot of respect for Kobe Bryant and the guys in that secondary. So I don't think, even with Oklahoma coming to town, there's not a sense that Texas is overlooking Kansas this weekend. Instead, I think a lot of people affiliated with Texas all across the board understand that in a lot of ways, Kansas will present a more unique challenge than maybe any that they face so far this season because of how good Jalen Daniels is.
You know, you talk about that game 2 years ago. It was interesting. Leipold was asked, and I don't know if you saw his comments on this, but he was asked about it yesterday. And he said, you know, I don't want to talk about the game from 2 years ago. As a matter of fact, I hope I don't get asked that again this week. I mean, he was pretty adamant, like, hey, that's 2 years ago. That's in the past. And I had a chance to communicate with him a little bit. You know, he said, you know, nobody asks about the game last year where Kansas goes into Lawrence and just lays the wood right on the Jayhawks. So I just thought it was interesting that he was more focused on what happened last year than 2 years ago. But hey, move over to the offensive side of the ball. Tell us about what the Longhorns want to do there and who are some of the key players to watch.
Well, I think, you know, it's easy to start with Quinn Ewers, the starting quarterback. He's been tabbed as a guy that could be a first-round draft pick next year, maybe even top 10. I don't think for most of his career, even into this season, he's been that kind of player. But he's been really good this year. And I think more than anything else, he's taking care of the football really well. Zero turnovers through the first four games of the season. He's been efficient. He hasn't forced the issue as much. He struggles to throw the ball down the field. So, you know, I think Xavier Worthy's maybe the best wide receiver that I've seen at Texas, with all due respect to a guy like Roy Williams, who was a first-round pick in the NFL.
Wow.
Top five pick at that. Jordan Shipley was the best player on the field in the 2010 national championship game against Alabama. And yet, I think Worthy's the better route runner. I think he gets open easier and more easily and by larger distances than any receiver I've ever covered at Texas. Every game he's played so far this season, teams have dictated their coverage towards Worthy. And so what it does is it allows a guy like Jatavion Sanders, who may be a first-round draft pick as a tight end and was a former five-star prospect coming out of high school, and who's been Pro Football Focus had him ranked earlier this week as the number one tight end in the country through the first four games. Was supposed to be more of a big play specialist. I don't know that it's completely gone that way, but, you know, you look at his Georgia career, which is where he played before this season. He scored in four straight playoff games. Like, I mean, he's been in big moments. He's produced in those moments. I think he's a one-and-done kind of guy at Texas. I think everybody expects he'll go to the NFL draft after this season. Texas is loaded at the skill position players. And the offensive line's very good. They're not great, but they're in the land of very good. They're great at left tackle. I mean, on paper, it's a pretty sensational-looking Texas offense on paper, but they have not played sensational football. I think a lot of people thought Texas would average 40-plus points per game. They're at 35 right now, which is either fourth or fifth in the Big 12. So they've been really good, but they haven't been nuclear. And I think that was the expectation going into this season, that this offense would be nuclear. They haven't hit those heights yet.
All right, switching over to the defense. Tell us what you've seen from them. What are they doing? What are they doing scheme-wise, and who are some guys to watch for?
It's probably the best Texas defense since 2009. And nobody was coming. The expectation was that the offense would be nuclear, and could the defense be good enough to not get in a few shootouts this season and, you know, games turn into 50-50 games all of a sudden. I mean, you know, 45-42, flip a coin. So the hope was that the defense would be good enough that that wouldn't happen, and they've been great. They've been the highlight of this team so far rather than the offense. Like Kansas, they're very deep along the defensive line. They've got some dudes now. T'Vondre Sweat entered this season, I think, as kind of a third, fourth round kind of a guy. He's playing like a first rounder. Byron Murphy, I think you would describe him as a pit bull. I don't know that he's going to be a big-time NFL draft prospect because he's a little undersized. But, man, he's been sensational. You know, he's – I kind of call him like a poor man's Dana Stubblefield. I mean, really good. You know, they've got an All-America linebacker in Jalen Ford who's created a turnover in 8 of his last 11 games, including 6 interceptions. The guy just has a knack for the football. They're really good in the secondary, but I think if there is a fear of this defense, it's that they can be beat in the passing game, you know, probably like any other defense in college football, that if you face the right quarterback, maybe you can be had. And I think coming into this game, I think Texas, as good as Kansas runs the football, I think Texas will think they're going to stop the run. I don't know if they know how they're going to do in defending the pass. And Jalen Daniels becomes a real wild card here. I was talking about this today on my YouTube show. A year ago, Daniels was such an important run threat for Kansas. You'd get into the red zone, and it felt like he was such a key component of what they wanted to do in the red zone. And he'd throw for 3 touchdowns, run for 2, and – you know, he was the best fantasy football player in college football when he was healthy a year ago. And it seems like this year, my perspective of what Kansas is doing is I'm imagining this and it's just coincidence or not, it feels like Daniels is staying in the pocket more. They're leaning on their running backs to run the football, and they've decided we're not going to risk losing our quarterback again this year for 4 to 6 weeks because we're overusing him as a runner. So it feels like he's doing less in the run game, and it makes me wonder, do they let him loose in this game, or is this the exact kind of game where they're like, no, if we overuse you, we might lose you, so we're going to lean on our running backs, we're going to run the football, but we're not going to ask Daniels to be the A piece portion of that. And if Daniel stays in the pocket, how does Texas treat him? Do they run a spy, even if it's not required? So I'm curious, from your perspective, is this a week where they ask Daniels, cut it loose? If you run for 100, fantastic, but this is one of these games where we got to turn it loose? Or is this one of these games where stay in the pocket and let's protect you and not risk exposure? And it's exactly this kind of game where we don't want to lose you and overuse you.
I would say the first 3 games, the scheme, the philosophy was to protect him a little bit. He didn't get out and run as much, but that changed last week. Last week, we started to see his legs get involved. He ran for almost 70 yards last week. So you bring up a great question. Is Texas the game that they say, okay, everything's off, you're going? So that will be. And at the same time, it's like you said, last year against Texas, he's coming off the injury. It's one of his first games back, and yep, he was really a pocket passer. Okay, well, it's going to be hard to be a pocket passer against Texas, because now they can come after you and they can do some things to shut you down because they're not worried about your legs. So last year against Texas, we didn't really get to see Jalen Daniels move around much. I have a feeling, I mean, if I was a betting man, after seeing him start to start to pick up some yards on the ground last week against BYU, I think you'll see him get those legs moving against Texas this week.
So the thing to look out for then, against Alabama, they had true freshman Anthony Hill, a five-star player, a true freshman. They had him serve as the spy against Jalen Hurts, and he did a very good job of spying Hurts, never letting him truly get on track. And I think that then becomes one of the matchups to watch on Saturday. If it's Daniels v. Hicks, and that's the guy that they match up with him from a spy situation, you know, whoever wins that battle gives the team they play for, I think, a really big edge.
Hey, Jeff, what's the latest with any injury news there?
Texas is about as – they got a backup offensive lineman that won't play, and they have a backup defensive end. Other than that, this is the healthiest Texas football team I've seen in 20 years.
All right, saying all that, I mean, break it down for me. How do you see this matchup and maybe a prediction on how you think this might play out?
I think it's a game for the first half. I think ultimately Texas is a better football team than Kansas. I think Kansas may have the best quarterback on the field, though. And I have a healthy amount of respect for Quinn Ewers. But like I said, I'm like the president of the Jalen Daniels fan club. I love the guy. I love everything about him. And so I think, you know, I think Kansas is going to be competitive. They were only beat, but I think we're talking about a game that's probably a one-score game going into the fourth quarter. And Texas has been great in the fourth quarter. I mean, they scored 21 points against Alabama. They've been a real second-half football team. So let's say it's like 17-13 at half, and it ends up being 34-23.
Jeff, as always, man, great stuff. And I tell you what, I am looking forward to this game. I just think Kansas is going down with some confidence. And I know Texas is loaded with guys everywhere. And this is a great breakdown from one of my close friends in the Rivals Network. And he's always done a great job covering Texas. Ketch, man, I thank you for joining us.
Love you, John, man. Safe travels this week if you're coming down for the game. And I'm around anytime if you ever need me for anything.
All right, brother. We'll see you.
Take care.
Great breakdown there from the always, always entertaining Jeff Ketchum. Kerb, there's no way we can have the same prediction this week. Give me your thoughts and what you think the score is going to be.
Oh, man, I've gone back and forth. You know, Jeff said there he wasn't ready to just give his solid prediction. And I know sometimes guys like to wait till Friday so they can do it on their sites. As we do this podcast, Randy, I was still debating on where I see this game. Last year, you saw the difference in the talent gap. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, last year, those kids from Texas, all they heard was KU came down here to Austin and beat you guys. And I'm telling you, Texas went to Lawrence last year and they were fired up. Mm-hmm. I mean, they came into the booth and pulled out a 6-ounce can of whoop ass because,
yes.
I mean, they just lined up and just took care of business. So, you know, Randy, there's one thing that concerned me. I was watching some clips of the Texas Baylor game last week, and there was two sacks I saw Texas had, and they were just nothing but pure three-man rushes. And Baylor had all five linemen in, and Texas just beat all five linemen on two of these plays. And I saw that, and I go, golly, those guys look so fast off the ball. They look so strong. This is going to be the best front seven by a long shot that KU sees all year long. This is the best front seven that Kansas has seen since Leipold got to KU.
That's a group with Sunday caliber players on it.
There are
guys on that front seven, and guys, plural, there might be 3, 4, 5 between, you know, the guys playing, you know, on the two deep that are going to play in the league. There's no question about that.
I mean, Randy, the thing is, too, is, I mean, these guys, they look right. And I mean, they run and they're strong. So, I mean, you know, if Daniels can get some time, the wide receivers can get open. We know that, okay? On defense, I think it's going to be kind of pick your poison. So the Texas O-line is really good, okay? I don't know. The Texas O-line isn't as good as the Texas D-line, okay? And we heard Jeff, you know, talk a little bit about maybe some interior things on the line. And I was talking to some other guys that said, you know, maybe there if there's a weakness, it's the inside part of the line. So, you know, they've got NFL talent in the pass game. I just think the Jayhawks are going to need some breaks, okay? But that can happen. They've still got to defend Jalen Daniels, okay? This may be the best offense Texas has faced, okay? We sit here and talk about how good Texas is and what Kansas has in front of them. Hey, Texas, Alabama, after watching Alabama, you can't tell me Alabama's offense is any better than KU's, okay? That sounds so weird to say, okay? But, I mean, Jalen Daniels and what Kansas does is tough to prepare for. So it's not like Texas has an easy game on their hands. Something else to bring up here. Texas wasn't dominant against Rice, and they were sluggish at home against Wyoming. I mean, that's a one-score game in the fourth quarter. So I just, you know, Texas is really good. They're a national playoff-type team, okay?
But agree.
It's not like they just step up and roll you at all times. They've had some times this year where you're kind of banging your head against the wall if you're a Texas fan going, what are we doing? So I think the KU players are confident. I was around them today. Had a chance to hear Kotelnicki and Borland. I just think that there's a belief that they're going to go down there and be competitive. You know, I thought somebody asked me, do you think there's a chance that Texas may be looking past KU? Because next weekend you got the Red River rivalry, okay, against Oklahoma.
Yep.
But I'm just telling you, I still think that the Texas players are reminded of 2021, and this is a 4-0 KU football team coming to town. So I don't think this is a deal where Texas is looking past KU at all. The Jayhawks have their attention, okay? I think KU plays a competitive game. I think it's a sign where Leipold's taken this program. I mean, in the past, I'd sit here and tell you this would be a 45-10 game. Okay, but KU's got to put up points to win, and I just don't know how many points they can put up against this defense, and I don't know if they can get there. I'm going to go Texas 37, Kansas 28. Give me yours.
We are, again, not far off.
Well, not far off's better than almost the same.
Exactly, exactly. I'm going 41-34, Texas. Longhorns go out and score. They put up a couple field goals on top of a pile of touchdowns. You know, I'm with you. I think this is a situation where Kansas has to keep pace. And part of keeping pace with that Texas offense is they're going to need I think they're going to need extra possessions. If they can force turnovers, and, you know, before we actually started recording, that's what Shea was talking about. They've got to get a few turnovers and get momentum early and get some early scores. And I agree with that completely. They need momentum. They need shock plays. But at the same time, it can't all be just, you know, sudden change situations, quick scores. They need drives. And if there's one thing we've seen from Andy Kotelnicki's offense, that is something they do a pretty good job of, is possessing the football. They stay very balanced. They're able to run. They're able to throw. You know, I know, obviously, Kansas is a very different team than the squad that went to Austin 2 years ago and beat them in overtime. You know, the legend of Jared Casey was born that night, and it was kind of Jalen Daniels' coming out party. But this is also a very different Texas team. Steve Sarkisian, as has been talked about this week, he and Leipold are both in their third year. And Sark has the recruiting, the development. The program is where he wants it right now. And they're in very good condition, and Kansas is going to need some things to go their way. And I'm with you. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I don't know if it can happen unless they get a few breaks along the way.
Well, you said something about, you said condition. That's interesting. That's a key word for Saturday.
It is. Talk a little bit about that, because it's going to be rough down there.
They're calling for 94 at kickoff, and then down on that field, it's going to be in the triple digits. So I'm telling you what, you talk about something that helps Kansas. They play a lot of guys. I mean, mm-hmm. Kansas will bring, they'll bring 10, 11 guys on the defensive front end. So, you know, that's going to be a challenge for both teams, because you get down there and you start cramping and you start getting hot early. So that'll be something to keep your eye on.
I think you know, talking about the weather, obviously there's a component to that. All those Texas kids from down there, they've grown up in it. But Kansas has a lot of guys that are used to the weather too. And I have no doubt that Gildersleeve has these guys ready to go. They'll be well conditioned. They're not going to wear down. It's just a question of, I think, when you look at where the depth is for these two programs right now, that could be what separates it. And it's not that KU isn't significantly deeper than they were the last time they went to Austin and won. It's that Texas is too, and it's a different kind of depth. I think the Jayhawks have a chance to do it, but like I said, they're going to need some help. Now, there were some visitors at the BYU game who we're going to get into in the latest update from the recruiting trail for the Kansas football Jayhawks, but we're going to have to hear from our next guest first, Mr. Marcus and Mark Carter, twin brothers and co-head coaches at Desert Edge High School, where the Jayhawks have three players committed currently. Joining us right now.
We are joined by Marcus and Mark Carter. They are the co-head coaches at Desert Edge High School in Arizona. And Kansas fans listening to this are very familiar with Desert Edge, because there are three Jayhawks that have committed. And I know the staff is hoping more are to come. Mark, Marcus, how you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining us. All right, so Mark, I want to start with you. Tell me about being a co-head coach with your brother. How did that come about?
And, you know, it's the thing is, we're twins, man, and, you know, we've shared everything. Even 9 months inside the womb, we're swimming umbilical cord or whatnot. So, you know, it's just, you know, it comes natural to us. I think the longest we've been apart away from each other in a collection in 41 years is like a year or two, maybe. And so when we got into this football thing, we got into it together. And so we just figured that we just stick together and do it. And then, you know, Marcus, who did coach on some offensive side of the ball a little bit, decided to go to the defensive side. And then, you know, I stayed on the offensive side. And, you know, we're just, you know, and everything else just kind of fell into place. You know, Marcus handles the recruiting and a lot of special team stuff and, like, the huddle and, you know, those kind of things. You know, I do, like, the buses, the scheduling, the kind of managerial work. So everything just kind of fall in place. And then, you know, things that need to be done on a collaborative effort, we collaborate together. And, you know, it's been working. And, you know, our boys love it. You know, our community loves it. And every school that we've been a part of, they love it as well.
Well, hey, being twin brothers and probably best of friends for so long, you guys can make that work. So, Marcus, I got to ask you this. So when Deshaun and Andre and Jonathan took their official visit, you went on the visit. Just talk about what you saw from the program and what you learned and the experience you had being on the visit with them.
My gosh. First of all, I've never been to Kansas. And then when I went there, it was like green. Like super green, and I wasn't expecting that. When I think of the Midwest and Kansas, I think of like flatland, and so when we saw, it reminded me of when I went to school at Chico State. So like the college town feel was amazing. You know, Coach Peterson and I have always had a connection, and so just being there with him and got to see him. And his element was amazing. The coaching staff was great. What I loved about it was that everybody spoke the same language. It wasn't forced. Nothing was forced. Everybody was on the same page. You know, we stood up. Coach Leipold
was, you know, introducing people and everybody was cracking jokes and stuff during the dinner. And then what really stood out to me is he stood up in front of everybody and was just saying, like, hey, I want you to ask this coach a question. I want you to ask this coach the same question. I want you to ask this coach the same question. So you know everything isn't made up. Everything isn't on a script. Everybody's going to give you the same answer, but just in their own way, which I loved about it. I love the fact that they have a family atmosphere. It felt like a high school team to me. But you know, obviously, you know, the college game is obviously a little bit different. But if the camaraderie, he knew stuff about me, which was crazy. And so just the camaraderie and the family orientation that they had and the family vibe, man, it was crazy. And you know, a lot of people are gonna think, oh yeah, you know, they must have did this or did that for the coaches when they went out there. But man, they treated us just like, you know, just like we were normal people, man. And we had a great time, and it was genuine. That's the word I would say. It was genuine.
That's a great breakdown. So, Mark, one of the reasons Kansas has had success as they've started recruiting your school in that area is obviously Jordan Peterson. He's just started recruiting the area, less than 2 years ago. What is it about him that you've had a chance to know and how he's been able to earn the trust and get commitments from your players?
You know, JP just came real, man. Like, he just came and he was himself. You know, a lot of, you know, some coaches that we encounter will come in and, you know, they got this kind of swagger about them that, you know, I'm the college coach. I'm doing you a favor to come through here and, you know, do all this stuff. With JP, he came through. Like I said, I'm calling him JP. I'm not calling him Coach Peterson. I'm not calling him, you know what I mean? And so that tells you right there, you know, what it was. And JP came through. He vibed with our guys. He talked to our guys. And one thing that I can say about Coach Peterson, because I'm going to put some respect on his name, what I can say about Coach Peterson is that he didn't get complacent, and he didn't think he just had it in the bag. You know, he stayed with our boys. He stayed in contact with our boys. Heck, he even contacted us a couple times and just to say, hey, what's up, just thinking about you guys, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, we don't tell our guys where to go. And despite what some people may say or whatever, our impact on the recruiting process is what the boys allow us, because we want them to make their own decisions. You know, they're becoming young men, and we feel like we've gamed them up enough or coached them up enough to where they can make that decision between them and their family. And so we just sit back and watch, and just hearing the boys talk about Coach Peterson and talk about Kansas let us know that he was doing his thing. And so just like Marcus said earlier, just genuine. And just him paying attention to detail and stuff like that just kind of set it off. And so, you know, he comes in, it's almost like seeing an old buddy, you know what I mean? Just, hey, man, what's up? How you doing? And the boys recognize that. And the way our culture is set up is, you know, the boys, they gravitate to those kind of things. So shout out to Coach Peterson and the staff for doing that.
And so how I connected with Coach Peterson was we had a connection because he coached at Fresno State. And so I have family in Fresno, and my nephew came from Fresno. And so we started talking about Fresno and different places in Fresno. But like my brother said, it was just like an old buddy. And he's very genuine. And he is a prime example of what Kansas football is and what Kansas football is going to be in the future. He's a great dude. Met his wife and all that stuff. Man, he was just awesome.
So, Marcus, I want to ask you this. You know, Peterson's already building the inroads there, and now with Arizona and Arizona State in that area joining the Big 12, does that open things up more now where Kansas can get back in there and be more open to recruiting?
100%. And I think he would still have a reach even if they weren't going to the Big 12. You know, he got the other kid from Horizon, and, you know, he came on the trip with us as well. We talked to him in the airport. And they felt the same way about Coach Peterson. You know, the way he talks to people and his reach and his genuine nature is I think he can go into Alaska and grab kids for all I'm concerned. But he's just a great dude. He's just a great dude, man. He has a great heart. He's four kids. He's not, you know, obviously he has his business side, of course, but he's four kids. And I believe the whole coaching staff is four kids. Coach Leipold, Coach O, you know, all those guys, you know, even the support staff was there, and everybody was all good with us, man. It was just great. It's just a great family feel.
All right, so I want to turn to the guys that are set to be Jayhawks that are committed from Desert Edge. And Mark, I'm going to start with you on this one. Just tell me what the Jayhawks are getting with Andre Gibson, who was the first to commit. What do you like about him as a player, and what can he be down the road?
Man, Andre is a dog, a certified dog. And I mean in every sense of the word. He busts his butt first and foremost in the classroom. So, you know, there's not going to be any eligibility issues or wondering if he's going to play. You know, Andre, he's grown so much as a young man. You know, I just get the chills just talking about him, because seeing him from a freshman to he is now, he's just a more mature and more refined young man. On a football standpoint, he's super tough, very intelligent. He's super coachable. You know, I get to work with him now that he's committed to the Jayhawks. I let him, you know, see the offensive side of the ball a little bit. And so now he can display his, you know, his punt returning skills, you know, from the backfield. And so he's just a really good football player, and the Jayhawks are getting a heck of a competitor. And I'm going to tell you right now, once he gets going, he ain't going to stop. So they're getting a heck of a young man.
All right, Marcus, headed your way with this one. Give me the scouting report and what you like about Deshaun Warner.
Deshaun Warner is just an incredible human being. You know, everything that Deshaun has gotten in his life, he has earned from being a Pop Warner kid to coming in as a wide receiver to moving, you know, being selfless and trusting the coaching staff and moving to DN. He reminds me of Boobie Miles. He can run, he can pass, and he can kick. He can do it all. You know what I mean? And so he's really elevated our team as a leader. He leads us in FCA every week. He gets everybody involved in, you know, all the volunteer stuff. You're going to get a great human. He's not an energy vampire. He elevates everybody in the locker room. He radiates confidence. He radiates intensity. He can rush the passer. He can plan the run. You know, Coach O and myself and our D-line coach challenged him to be better in the run this year. We're only giving up 86 yards rushing per game, and a lot of that has to do with DJ. He has four forced fumbles. He's caught a touchdown. He's blocked for a touchdown. I think he's missed three extra points on the season. He has three touchbacks from kicking off. He doesn't come off the field. You know, he wants to win. He's a winner. He's a competitor, and he's gonna do it. He's gonna do it the hard way. And you know, he elevated himself in the classroom. And just to touch on Andre Gibson, you know, I hope Andre Gibson gets to, you know, get to the pro level or wherever Andre gets to, because I want to be able to tell the story about Andre Gibson. It is a storybook life that he's lived, and what he has to overcome and what he's gone through. And, man, I'm so happy for both of those guys. And, you know, I'm glad that, you know, they're cousins and, you know, they're doing it together.
All right, Mark, back to you on the final player committed, Jonathan Kamara. You know, just tell the Kansas fan base about this talented kid who can play everywhere.
Well, I don't want them to get his reserved nature. I don't want people to confuse that with, you know, just him not being locked in. John is a gamer. If you watch his Desert Edge games, it's like two different people. You know, we know John on the personal level, doesn't really talk very much, cracks a few jokes here and there. So they're super funny because he's not that guy. But he's an excellent young man in the classroom. But then you flip it, and you get John on the field, and he's an animal. You know, he can play the stinger, what we call our stinger, which is a middle safety. He can play linebacker. He can play defensive end. He does it all. And the thing about what I love about John as well is he doesn't do it for recognition. He just wants to see the people around him ball out. And, you know, John has played three different roles this year. He played some linebacker last game. He's played some stand-up end in some games before, and then he played the middle safety. So you're getting a well-rounded, very, very, very intelligent football player that, like I said, is selfless, and all he wants to do is win. And, you know, another kid that grades are not going to be the issue. You know, he busts his butt just as hard in the classroom than he does on the field. And so, you know, Kansas, man, they're getting a really solid, you know, a really solid football player, but also a really good young man. And this crazy thing is, and people won't believe us, but when we had John Chon as a freshman, he was all of 5'8", 145 pounds.
Wow.
And, yeah, like, he was tiny. And, you know, he was a corner. He was a corner. And the next thing you know, he's been worried. We told him, you know, if you're going to do what you're trying to make, trying to make it to where you're trying to make it, John, you got to put in the work. And all he did was bust his butt riding his bike in 115 degree weather to come to practice every day, then go through practice and then ride his bike home. Like the selflessness and, you know, his commitment to whatever team he's on is unmatched.
All right, Marcus, I'm going to end it and I'm going to give you the last question. You know, it doesn't stop with this class. You guys got other guys. I know Kansas has already offered Jamar Beal-Goins. Just tell us who else is out there coming up through your program to keep an eye on.
Oh, my gosh. Obviously, Jamar. Jamar was, you know, a 10-600 guy. He has a 42.5-inch standing vertical. He broad jumps 11-3. Then we have our left tackle who's a 26. His name is Jelani Miller. He has about 8 or 9 offers. He's 6'5", 300 pounds right now. He started as a freshman for us all last year, didn't miss a game. So he's doing really well this year. We have another wide receiver. His name is Derek Sidney. He's a 27. He has a couple D1 Power 5 offers right now. Man, it's just great to be on the west side. It's great to be in Goodyear. Our area is developing well. And, you know, we have a lot of really, really good talented kids that have come through our program. And, you know, one thing I can say about us and our coaching staff is we develop the kids. You know, Andre came in as a running back. DJ came in as a wide receiver. John came in as a corner. But we develop those guys into what we see them on the next level, not to where we think they can help us win. And that's what I love about our coaching staff, because we're always kids first, and we're going to make sure we get the best out of our kids and get them to where they need to be.
Well, when I was talking to you guys before we started, you guys said it's rivalry week. Is it a big game this week for you?
Yes, sir. It's against our school, Millennium Tigers. They're about 10 minutes away from us. It's a rivalry. Their head coach is one of my good friends, one of our good friends. And so, you know, this region, you know, we have a little bit of a love loss for all these guys. But, you know, I love Coach Early over there at Millennium. But, you know, when it's time to get down, it's time to get down.
All right, guys. Well, good luck. I know you're on a 4-game win streak. And listen, I really appreciate you guys joining us. I know the Kansas fans are going to love the breakdown that you guys had. And good luck the rest of the year.
Hey, thanks for having us. Rock on. I appreciate you.
You got it.
You know, Kirby, when I first saw the whole co-head coach thing, I couldn't imagine two people that could make that work. But you know, I wouldn't have thought two twin brothers. You almost think, hey, that's too close. Those guys seem to have that thing down pat.
They do, man. They're good guys. And I've heard a lot about them just from their players. And I've heard about them from the KU staff. And they've done a great job with that program. And just listening to them, they've got a system down. I mean, one strength is here, the other strength is here, and they make it work. And, you know, they've got a big game, like they said, against the rival this week. They've won 4 straight. So, and you know, Kansas hopes to keep that connection going and get more players in the next classes coming up.
You know, we talk about recruiting. Give us the latest information, you know, kind of the updates, the reaction from the guys that were on the sidelines for the BYU game. Anything you've heard specifically from everybody's favorite recruit seemingly right now, Mr. Michael Boganowski?
Yeah, you know, nothing directly from Michael. You know, he's kind of played everything low-key here lately. So I did communicate with his dad. He gave me some nice comments from being around the staff and what they thought of the environment and everything. I posted those on the message board. A couple local guys we've talked about several times, Brock Heath, offensive lineman from Blue Valley Northwest, and then his teammate Andrew Babalola. They were both there. Heath got offered by Leipold. I think it happened about 5 feet in front of me right before the game in the end zone there.
One thing real quick about Heath, just because his dad is a friend of mine. Matt reached out to me today and he was like, hey, be sure and tell Kirby that Brock is listed in his rival's profile at 230 pounds. He was like, I swear he's over 250 right now.
Oh, yeah. He's there's no doubt he is definitely over 230. I saw him in person. I thought it was maybe 255, 260, just eyeballing him. So we'll make sure and get that changed in the database. Yes. Also, defensive end Charlie Wolben from DeSoto was there.
Yeah.
And you know something, when I talked to Brock, and I'll have a story coming out on him, you know, he said him and Andrew are going to take some visits together. So that could be an interesting thing to watch here if there's a certain school or schools that are recruiting them both, that if they both work out for both of them to go to, that's something I'm going to kind of keep my eye on after talking to him. C.J. Simon, wide receiver from Oklahoma, was there. Logan Christensen, a safety from California. KU's offered them. Caden Butler, a wide receiver from California, was there. He left Olathe North to head west, so he's very familiar with the area. A 2026 offer out. I told you last week on the podcast, remember this name, John Michael Fountain. He picked up an offer. I'm going to try to get him on the phone. He's very low-key, doesn't he? I talked to Steve Martin down at Wichita Northwest, and he said he doesn't do a lot of interviews, but we're going to get him on and talk to him. So, you know, I asked Lance in the press conference, I said, you know, how's recruiting going? You got new facilities, you're 4-0, you had a lot of exposure last year. And, you know, Randy, I just think that, you know, those kids saw a great crowd. I think things are rolling right now with KU football. There's some momentum. And, you know, the focus right now is on the 2025 and 2026 classes because, for the most part, they've got a lot of 2024 wrapped up. Obviously, you got Boganowski. But here's a name to watch. No, I should say here's a name to start watching again.
Okay.
David Abajian from California.
Okay.
I thought KU, I felt it was either going to be Oregon State or KU, and he committed to Oregon State.
I was going to say, it's been a while since we've talked about that kid.
Well, today, he just publicly decommitted from Oregon State.
Ooh.
And just before the podcast here, I had a chance to communicate with him. And he said Kansas is definitely a school that he's going to be looking at. And he has been in touch with the coaching staff at Kansas here lately. So that tells me the Jayhawks are keeping tabs on him and have been keeping tabs on him. And he is going to be a guy that we watch. Now, he's already taken his official visit, so he knows everything about the program. So the Jayhawks could be getting in pretty good position here. We'll just have to see how that one shakes out.
That is the final word from the Kansas football recruiting trail, and that will do it for this edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. Like I said, it's a pregame edition, getting you ready for the matchup with the University of Texas, but we also went in-depth with our man Shea Wildebor on all the latest from the Kansas basketball recruiting trail. You know, with men's basketball getting ready to pop off, with everything happening with the 4-0 Kansas football Jayhawks, there is no better time to be a member of JayhawkSlant.com than right now. As I said before, we have tons of fun on the boards. There's always a lot of great discussion, and also there is no better coverage anywhere on the internet than you will find on the best fan site for Jayhawk Nation, and that's JayhawkSlant.com. If you listen to the podcast and you've never been on the boards, come check it out. Come, you know, get a subscription, try it out for a couple months, see what you think. There's no better time than right now as a Kansas fan to get all the best coverage that you're going to find anywhere on your favorite squads from John Kirby, the man on the Kansas football beat, and our buddy Shea Wildebor as well. For our man John Kirby on the Kansas football beat and our buddy Shea Wildebor, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.